Chapter 10. The Eternal Ocean. Callista sprinted across the deck of the sleek Camavoran ship, spear in hand. The vessel was named the Daggerhawk, and Callista ran straight for its port railing as if to launch herself over the side. But as she stepped up onto the ornate carved edge, she twisted, pushing off hard to reverse her direction. She hurled her spear mid-leap, and it sliced across the aftercastle deck to impale a hanging sack of sand ballast. She landed lightly, before straightening and rolling her shoulders. As she moved to retrieve her weapon from the wildly spinning target, someone nearby clapped their hands in applause. Callista tore her spear free from the ballast sack, spilling sand, and glanced over to see the stocky figure of the ship's captain watching her. A no-nonsense Vestayan woman named Venix. She was leaning casually against the rearmost mast. Her features were broad, her eyes dark and intense. Her fur was felt-like and pale on her face and the underside of her arms, but elsewhere it was thicker and as dark as mahogany. She had round, furry ears resembling an otter's, pierced with a score of rings, and her hands ended in stubby claws painted vivid pink.
My crew were taking bets on how long it would take for you to lose your spear overboard. Some bet an hour, others a day. It's now been more than 10 days and you've not missed a single throw.
Sorry to disappoint.
Don't apologize to me.
Venix smiled, exposing small, pointed teeth and pronounced canines.
I was the only one who put coin on you not losing your spear. Keep this up and you'll make me a tidy little profit.
Callista gave a mocking bow.
I do what I can.
The sun beat down upon them mercilessly. It had been 2 weeks since they had departed Alavedra. 2 weeks since Callista had last seen any hint of land. The Eternal Ocean lived up to its name, stretching as far as the eye could see in every direction. But the winds had been favorable, allowing them to make good time. Though Callista grew up by the coast, she rarely spent time on the water. She had imagined the ocean to be teeming with life and activity, but it seemed more like a wasteland. While in the first few days they had seen an abundance of bird life and great schools of leaping dragonfish, and even glimpsed the immense shape of a breaching scythe whale off the bow, there had been virtually no sign of other life for days. The novelty of being on the open ocean kept Callista occupied, at first. Sitting with her legs hanging over the side, she had watched in rapture as porpoises joyously leaped and spun in the Daggerhawk's bow wave. At other times, she simply lay on her back, enjoying the sun, the creak of wood, and the rhythmic movement of the ship beneath her. Soon, monotony had set in. To keep herself occupied, she'd taken up residence on the deck of the aftercastle, turning the area into a training ground. Every day she pushed herself through hours of punishing exercises and drills, from push-ups and climbing up the rigging to endless repetitions of spear thrusts, steps, turns, and blocks.
Thought you might be getting hungry, Princess.
Captain Venix tossed Callista a bread roll. She caught it deftly.
Please stop calling me that.
Whatever you say, Princess.
Callista shook her head, snorting in exasperation. She tapped her roll against the railing and grimaced. It was as hard as a stone.
There's soup down below. Makes these almost palatable.
Thank you, Captain.
Callista only now realized how hungry she was. The sun was almost directly overhead, and she'd been training since dawn. For once, she hadn't noticed the time passing.
We're nearing the supposed location of your mythical islands. If they're out there, we should be passing them in the next day or two.
You really don't think they exist?
Venix sniffed, making her whiskers twitch.
Never said I don't believe in them. I've seen enough strangeness out on the open ocean not to dismiss things out of hand. And legendary islands where folks live forever? Well, that's a long way from the most far-fetched thing I've seen. Don't mean we'll find a mind if they don't want to be found.
Callista stared toward the distant horizon. If no one had been able to locate the Blessed Isles for hundreds of years, what made her think she would?
This very well may be a complete waste of time. Perhaps I should never have come.
And miss all this?
Said the captain with a chuckle, gesturing around her. The Dagger Hawk wasn't the largest of vessels in the Camavoran fleet, but she was one of the swiftest. When becalmed, she was able to be powered by oars, but if there was even the slightest of winds, her multiple sails took full advantage, and she sliced through the water like a knife. Nevertheless, the immense scale of the Eternal Ocean made the ship feel like a tiny, insignificant leaf being carried at the whim of the current and the wind. And if they sank? The ocean wouldn't care. The sun would rise the next day and the world would keep turning. It was a humbling thought.
Look, if you stayed back in El Avedra, you'd be doing what? Moping around the palace waiting for the queen to breathe her last? I'm sorry to be blunt, but you're better off out here. At least you're doing something. And if it doesn't come to anything, then so be it.
After the captain headed back to the quarterdeck, Callista mulled over her words. She didn't mind being spoken to so directly. In truth, it was refreshing, and she appreciated it. The captain's advice would have appealed to her grandfather as well. The Lion of Camavor was an advocate of taking decisive action, even in the face of uncertainty and doubt. She was just about to go find some soup when there was a shout from the ship's lookout, high upon the mainmast. He was pointing straight ahead. Callista leaped down the stairs onto the main deck in one bound. Dodging lightly around sailors, she darted to the starboard side.
Hold this,
she said, handing her spear to a startled cabin girl. Callista climbed up the rigging hand over hand. The wind up here whipped at her, and every movement of the ship was far more pronounced, making her stomach lurch as the swell rose and fell. Finally, she reached the meager platform that served as the lookout's post. The sailor looked more than a little surprised to see her.
What'd you see?
Take a look for yourself,
he replied, offering her a slender silver tube. There wasn't enough room on the platform for both of them, so Callista looped the rigging around her leg to lock her in place and carefully took the seeing glass in her hands. She placed it to one eye and squinted, adjusting the focus with a twist of the tube's end.
Where am I looking?
Look to the horizon, straight ahead.
Callista adjusted and readjusted the lenses, frowning.
I can't see the horizon.
Exactly.
A white mist stood before them like an immense fortress wall. It rose up hundreds of feet, though it was impossible to see exactly where it ended and the sky began, so it could have been higher still. No fog or mist Callista had ever heard of began so abruptly. There was something deeply unnatural about it. It seemed unaffected by the wind that propelled the Dagger Hawk, the mist refusing to disperse like it was solid. And the Dagger Hawk was sailing directly toward it.
100 yards, Captain!
Called the ship's first mate. Callista glanced at Venix. The Vestayan captain stood with arms crossed, staring straight ahead. There was a slight smile on her face.
She's enjoying this. Ever seen anything like it?
The captain flashed her canines.
Never! This should be fun.
50 yards!
They'd lowered several of the sails, slowing their progress while not completely giving up their forward momentum. Venix's eyes kept flicking down to the ornate brass compass in her hand.
Keep her steady on this heading.
Yes, Captain! 20 yards!
The wall of mist was all they could see now. It felt surreal, like they were sailing into nothingness. Callista held her breath, her knuckles white from clutching the railing so tightly. She almost expected the ship to smash against the vast whiteness, but then they passed into it. It was cooler here, and dampness surrounded them, like they were sailing through a rain cloud. They could no longer see the sun, and the Dagger Hawk's sails wilted, for there was no hint of a breeze. Callista saw that the water was flat and still, like a lake, and the only sounds she could hear came from the ship itself. The creak of timbers and ropes, the nervous shuffling of sailors' feet. Captain Venix sucked in a deep breath, closing her eyes.
There's old magic in this mist. It feels wonderful.
Callista wasn't surprised that the mist was arcane in nature. It was the only logical explanation. The Vestayan captain gave a long, contented sigh and opened her eyes. They radiated fey light and a soft aura surrounded her.
You're glowing.
Venix grinned.
My kind were born a magic, in an age long past. This is like a rekindling of sorts.
Callista glanced over Venix's shoulder at the ornate compass. The needle was steady.
Still on course?
Still on course. Though, we're not going anywhere fast.
She added, looking up at the listless sails. She shouted her orders.
All right, girls and boys. Time to break out the oars. Get to it.
The crew diligently went about their tasks, unplugging oar holes and extending long golden oars into the unnaturally still water. Then, at the shout of the first mate, the oars were dipped in unison, and the Daggerhawk began to glide forward. They traveled through the eerily silent mist for what seemed like hours, though without the sun, it was impossible to track how long it had been. The captain's compass said they were maintaining their heading, but it was starting to feel like they'd never find anything in here. It was easy to imagine that nothing beyond the mist existed. Or perhaps that they'd been caught within some magical entrapment, and no matter how long they rowed, they'd never go anywhere. Callista was relieved when she saw movement overhead.
Birds!
She cried out, pointing.
Well, would you look at that? If birds are here, that means land is here as well.
The captain turned to Callista, nodding in grudging acknowledgement.
It looks like these mythical islands of yours ain't so mythical after all, princess.
So where are they?
Good question.
They continued on for some time until a shout came from the forecastle.
Think I see something up ahead, captain!
After a few moments, Callista could see it too. What looked like a darkening of the mist. Her breath caught in her chest. Had they found the legendary Blessed Isles? Then they were out of the mist, and the Daggerhawk was rocked by the sudden return of the wind and ocean swell, but there were no islands before them, just open water. The captain swore.
We got turned around!
She snarled and swore again, louder and more colorfully than the first time.
But your compass?
The captain held it out to show her. The needle was spinning wildly, but gradually began to slow until it was pointing back the way they'd come.
We're back where we started.
Almost exactly. I guess those islands don't want unexpected visitors.
Three more times the Daggerhawk entered the mist. Three more times it was repelled. During each attempt, they tried something different, but with no success. One time, they swung to starboard as soon as they breached the mist, rowing just within its perimeter to map its extent. But they somehow found themselves turned around and rowing in the opposite direction, before abruptly leaving the mist again, back where they had started. During their next try, they tacked back and forth once through the veil, hoping it might increase their chance of running across the isles. But again, the mist rejected them. In a final attempt, they entered the mist, then swung completely around and rowed back the way they had come. It seemed absurd, but they didn't exit the mist immediately. They remained within it even longer, and Callista began to think they had outfoxed whatever magic had pushed them out the other times. At one point, a handful of sea otters with glowing iridescent fur popped their heads up out of the glass-still water to watch them slide by. Callista had been struck by their similarity to the captain's appearance.
Don't say it,
Venix had growled.
Say what?
Whatever you're thinking. Just don't.
The presence of such creatures reinforced the notion that there were islands tantalizingly close, but again they proved unwilling to reveal themselves. The mist thinned before the Daggerhawk, and try as they might to alter course and avoid leaving, the Camivorans soon found themselves back out on the open ocean. They were instantly engulfed in darkness and lashed with wind and rain. While the mist had seemed to radiate its own pale light, night had descended while they were ensconced within. It was a few hours before dawn when the clouds and driving rain cleared, allowing the captain to gauge their position from the stars. They were days to the west of where they had expected to be.
We're closer to the Serpentine Delta than Camivore. To get home, we'll either need to spend several days skirting around this infuriating mist, or we try to cut back through it. Though the ancestors know where we'll end up.
We can't go home yet. Viego was right. The islands are right there.
Callista said, gesturing at the wall of mist.
Well, they might as well be on the Silver Moon. We'd be as likely to find them there.
Callista clenched her fists. Knowing the islands were so close, yet so frustratingly out of reach, was worse than finding nothing at all.
I can't go back empty-handed.
Who even knows if the Queen has lasted this long?
That was certainly a fear that had been plaguing Callista, but she pushed it aside.
There has to be a way through.
Well, I'm gonna get some sleep, Princess. Wake me when you decide what you wanna do.
Callista retired to her cramped cabin. The captain had tried to give up her own quarters for her.
On account of you being a princess and all.
But Callista had refused. Most of the sailors were already snoring in hammocks below decks, but she could not fathom the idea of sleep. Lighting a lantern and hanging it from a hook in the curved ribs of the hull, she dug out her oiled leather satchel and clambered into her hammock. Swaying gently with the roll of the Daggerhawk, with the sound of waves lapping at the hull, Callista flicked through the handwritten notes and sheaves of paper Nunyo had given her. The old advisor had worked through the night with a small team of scholars before she left, copying anything from Viego's research that might be of use. She scoured the pages, desperately seeking something, anything, that might help, but found nothing but vagaries and flights of fancy. Dawn had already risen when she noticed a tiny note scrawled on the side of one page. She'd read it before, but never really paid attention to it. Blinking her tired eyes, she turned the sheaf sideways, holding it up to the lantern light. It was written in Nunyo's precise, flowing hand.
Cross-referencing astral charts with the constellations at the start and end of his final leg indicates this voyage took roughly 10 days.
She reread the section that Nunyo was commenting on. It was an extract from the painfully verbose translations of the Akathian, Zillion, about a visit to the Blessed Isles. It went into detail about such things as what he ate for breakfast and his clear fascination with the passage of time, as well as descriptions of the constellations he saw. There was nothing to give her practical information about getting to the Isles, but maybe that didn't matter. Maybe Nunyo had been onto something. Callista scrambled from her hammock and ran from her cabin, ignoring the muttered groans and protests of the sailors she passed. She ran straight to the captain's cabin and burst in unannounced. The captain had been sleeping, and she blinked up at her intruder, squinting against the early morning light. Her bedsheets only partially covered her, and it was obvious she was not wearing anything at all.
You wanna join me, princess?
Venix said with a sleepy, wicked smile, making no effort to conceal her nakedness. It was clearly a joke meant to make her feel uncomfortable. And it worked. Callista felt her face burning, and she looked away.
Oh, thank you, no. How many ports lie about 10 days from here? Ones that have been around for many hundreds of years.
You've interrupted my beauty sleep to ask that?
It's important.
Venix rose from the bed, again making no effort to cover herself, and Callista turned to face the wall. She shook her head at the captain's confidence and complete lack of shame, yet she also admired it. She was free in a way that Callista, as a princess of the royal line, felt she could never be.
10 days? Well, that might get you to the Amarantine coast, but not to any notable port. Wouldn't get you up to the Harrow port either, and certainly not around the coast to White Spire. Nah, the only place of note close to 10 days from here would be Buru, and that would be a stretch.
Buru? That's on the Serpent Isles.
That's the one. Interesting folk. They've been there a long time. Damn good sailors. Damn good navigators, too. Don't have any fear, either. Most folk go out of their way to avoid the things that dwell in the darkness down below. But those ones go searching for them. They hunt them, the crazy bastards, every damn night. You can turn around now, princess.
The captain was dressed in an ostentatious mishmash of styles, including tight leather trousers and thigh-high boots, a garish shirt overflowing with ruffles, and a velvet coat that hung almost to the floor.
How do I look?
She said, striking a dramatic pose.
Like you are ready to sail me to the Serpent Isles to find me a guide.
Venix laughed.
Come on then, princess,
she said, opening the door and ushering Callista out.
You can tell me more about why we're going there, while I think of how to break it to the crew that we're not heading home just yet.